You are listening to a very special Punk News podcast for the week of April 3rd, 2013. Special episode of the Punk News Podcast. I'm your host, Punk News Features Editor, John Gentile, and on tonight's podcast, we're playing everyone's favorite game, The Punk Connection. As I'm sure you all know, on The Punk Connection, we have a lucky, beautiful bachelorette. Then we bring out three contestants. The contestants answer questions about modern events and punk rock. And at the end, the bachelorette chooses which contestant she likes the best, and the two have a night out on the town. Tonight's episode of The Punk Connection is going to be really great. We'll be asking the contestants about the return of Modern Life is War, Rancid and the Transplants, the Boston police cracking down on house shows, the Menzingers, and so much more. So without further ado, let's meet our bachelorette! Tonight's bachelorette is stunning, smart, and suave. Let's meet Sheena Colvin. Hi, Sheena. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. You know, Sheena's from Queens. She enjoys punk rock, long walks on Rockaway Beach, and thinks New York City really has it all. Welcome to the show, Sheena.
Thank you for having me.
Now tell me, Sheena, I've heard that your sister Susie's a headbanger, and worse, I've heard that your mother is a geek. Is that true?
Unfortunately, yes.
It is. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But the good news is I've seen the three contestants on The Punk Connection today, and I gotta say, there's some really good-looking, handsome guys. Are you ready to meet the contestants, Sheena?
I'm ready.
Contestant number one is news editor Armando Olivas. Armando is from California, likes ska and ska-related genres, and describes himself as the most handsome man not wearing Doc Martens and a pair of suspenders. Armando, thanks for being here.
It's good to be here, John.
Great. Contestant number two is video editor Chris Moran. Chris is from Virginia, has been working with Punk News for over 10 years, enjoys Pabst Blue Ribbon and jorts, and describes himself as org core, but with a heart of gold. Chris, welcome to the show.
You gotta die for your government.
True that. And lastly, but not leastly, is contestant number three, staff reviewer Tori Peterson. Tori is originally from Arizona, currently studying creative writing, and describes himself as more metal than Rob Halford's basement. Tori, it's great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Let's have a big round of applause for all three contestants. And well, thanks to everyone for being here. We'll get the game started right after a short message from our sponsors. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Hey there, this is John Flynn back with another song for you. This time, I'm bringing you Shady Hawkins, straight out of Brooklyn. The band released their album Dead to Me via Bandcamp late last year, and this song, White Panic, comes from that record. Enjoy.
Oh,
back to the Punk Connection. So listen carefully, Sheena, because we're going to ask each of our contestants questions, and at the end, you'll have to pick which one you like best. Sheena, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so as the Punk News audience certainly knows, recently Modern Life is War, the, I guess, well-respected, well-known hardcore melodic punk act, has recently reunited. They actually recorded an album in September of last year and plan to go on tour with the first show that's going to be at This Is Hardcore Fest in August in Philadelphia. The new album's going to come out on Death Wish Records, and it was recorded at God City in May. So anyway, let's go to contestant number one. Contestant number one, Armando, what do you think of this? Are you excited for the Modern Life is War reunion?
I'm not unexcited for it. I've never been a huge fan of Modern Life is War, and that isn't because I don't like them or anything. I feel like I haven't listened to them enough. What I have heard is enjoyable, so maybe with a new record and a tour, that's more of an incentive for me to get into them.
Fair enough. Contestant number two, Chris, are you excited for the Modern Life is War reunion?
I'm excited for the vests with no t-shirts underneath.
Oh, is that like a thing they do?
Dude, that's all the singer wears. It's hilarious, but like, I don't know. It's kind of like, it's almost cartoonish to the point where that's all you ever see him wearing. But I remember they were kind of a, at first I thought they were overhyped, but they put on a good live show. I mean, you know, and yeah, I'd definitely go check them out if it was convenient.
Contestant number three, Tori, you know, you like the harder, the heavier, the nastier music. Are you excited for this reunion?
I am, and I'm not. I have one of their records I've witnessed, and I do enjoy it, but they're not my favorite. I will say I like this, and I noticed the comments that when bands get together like this, it kind of takes the bragging rights away from people who went to their last shows. I know I have friends that did, and my roommate saw them, and it's sort of like if in 2009 you said that you saw Refuse, that would be a very cool story, but now it's like so did everybody else who gives a shit. So I think Modern Life is War, getting back together, is great, and then it's going to wipe the smirk off some faces.
Fair enough. Sheena, what did you think of the contestants' answers? None of them really seemed that enthused that Modern Life is War is getting back together. Are you excited, and what did you think of their answers?
I'm kind of in the same boat as contestant number one, as in I don't hate Modern Life is War, but I never really got into them.
Well, I'm shocked because it seemed all the punk news kids were very excited to see this band get back together. For example, DKY said, "This better be no effing April Fools." And someone else said, Dave Brave said, "Best news effing," man, a lot of F words out here on punk news this week. He said, "Best news effing stoked." So I gotta say, perhaps there's a disconnect between all of us and the younger kids at Punk News. Of course, you guys are all pretty young, so maybe there's a disconnect between the people between my age and your ages. Anyways, let's move on to question number two. Recently, Rancid just announced a fairly short tour close to the upcoming summer. It's going to be Rancid as well as a Transplants, which is Tim Armstrong's side project with Skinhead Rob and some other people as well. Not only that, the Transplants just released their first single off their third album called In a War Zone. Contestant number two, Chris, have you heard the new Transplants single?
You know, I did not do my homework for this thing, and I tried to watch the or listen to the song on my mobile device, and it didn't work. But I can only imagine how wretched it is, and I can just tell you now that I probably don't like it.
Are you excited for the upcoming Transplants / Rancid dual tour?
No, not really. I mean, I remember seeing Rancid and enjoying it, and the last time I saw them, I didn't enjoy it. They just kind of – they don't have the same spunk, the same energy. They just seem to kind of be going through motions, and there's – I don't know. It's kind of cartoonish. This is the second time I've said cartoonish, but it's cartoonish to a point where they're, I don't know, almost like a parody of what they once were.
Mm. Contestant number three, do you agree that Rancid is a parody of themselves, or are they like the most long-running, meaningful punk rock band from after the Green Day era, if you will?
They were a gateway band for me, and I've never been able to see them. So I would go see them if it was convenient, but nobody really comes my way. I think I'm admirable that Tim's pulling double duty, I guess, even though the Transplants are kind of terrible. But I don't know. I listened to the new single, and it kind of just sounds like a bad Rancid song. It doesn't really sound as hilariously bad as the Transplants used to be. So I guess that's a step in the right direction for them. I don't know. Armando, tough to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tori.
Oh, I was done.
Armando, contestant number one, what did you think of the Transplant single?
I found the Transplants single to be very horrible. And that's coming from someone who actually liked a lot of songs on that first album. And part of the reason why I feel that it was awful was because one of the things that they, you know, that the Transplants started out was kind of like a punk hip hop hybrid, so to speak. And this one, there wasn't really any hip hop aspect to it all. You know, granted, I don't think Skinhead Rob is the best MC in the world, but given the context of the music they were making, he sort of made it work. And this was just him yelling a lot with no real, like, you know, beat or anything. You know, so it did kind of sound like a bit of a bad Rancid song, but I feel like even a really bad Rancid song would sound better than that. As far as the tour is concerned, I would actually go if you were coming out near me. But it's not because I guess, I don't know, the Transplants aren't ready to play California yet. Who knows? But I don't know. I would be stoked. I've seen Rancid a bunch of times. And I will kind of echo off of what Moran said a minute ago, where it does seem a bit cartoonish in that, like, Tim and Lars kind of do things, like, that are, like, staples at this point where it's almost a bit ridiculous. But I still find them to be, like, the fun to watch. Like, I just saw them at last year's Punk Rock Bowling, and it was a fun set.
Actually, this is a question for contestants 1, 2, and 3, any of you can answer. I don't know if any of you have been listening to the Tim Armstrong solo singles that he's been putting out, but his voice sounds very strained and very weak on those releases. My question is, do you think Tim Armstrong is losing his voice, or is that just a strange stylistic thing that he's been doing?
Style.
Yeah, he's like a white Lil Wayne.
Man, I think there's another option you're leaving out, but I'm not going to say it.
What's that?
I'd rather not. So let's just say I think
he doesn't want Epitaph coming at his doorstep and asking for his head.
I don't want to deal with Skinhead Rob.
I don't think anybody wants to deal with Skinhead Rob. He just kind of shows up.
I want to deal with Skinhead Rob because dealing with Skinhead Rob involves grand slams at Denny's.
Hey, all I'm gonna say is just think Alkaline Trio, Crimson, and I'll leave it at that.
Guys with makeup on?
No.
Suits?
I think they're hilarious, though, those singles, because of his voice. Some of them are just, they're good for a laugh.
The Scott ones are really good.
They're good. The one, I think they did Bad Luck. They did the Social Distortion one, and it is, I can't even describe it. You just have to hear it for yourself.
I have to say, I kind of disagree with the contestant 1, 2, and 3 for this Transplant song. I was expecting it to be much, much worse. I thought it was going to be like a horrible mix of punk rock and rap. But maybe it's because I had such low expectations, but I was listening to it. And I thought, this is passable, you know?
I wouldn't even give it that.
Really?
But...
Well, fair enough. Sheena, what did you think of contestants 1, 2, and 3's answers?
I think I most agree with contestant number 2. Because I'm not excited for either Transplants or Rancid, and Tim Armstrong is just very uninteresting to me now.
Really?
Yes.
John, okay. Hey, Mr. Host, let me throw this out there for you. Here's where I kind of look at this. You've got different sects, S-E-C-T-S, my voice is like fucked right now, of these older punk rock stars, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, you have your NoFX group where, you know, they kind of joke at like where they're at this point in their life and they kind of like make fun of it. They're snarky and assholes, but they kind of accept what they are. I don't know. Like, it's like Tim and Lars and all that. They still seem to think they're these bad boy punk rockers. And it's like, no, you're not. You're really not.
I have to say, Sheena, I'm surprised. I would think that you would be a Rancid fan. Are you not a Rancid fan?
No, I really like An Out Come the Wolves. Like, I love that album, but I didn't like anything they've released recently, like the Let the Dominoes Fall. I did not like that at all.
I thought you were going to say Let the Dogs Out, like the Baha Men.
Actually, that was ghostwritten by Tim Armstrong. A lot of people don't know that.
Really?
Yeah, but actually, you should have heard like his version, like "Who Let the Dogs Out?" So it was a jam. So anyway, let's move on to question number 3. I guess we'll start with contestant number three on this one first. Contestant number three, recently the Boston police have been going undercover to fight DIY punk shows. What they do is, well, let me step back for a moment. I assume that a lot of the Punk News listeners know that usually for what people call house shows, which are really unlicensed shows, is they'll put up a Facebook invite but not say where it's at, and then you have to email the person to get the address for the DIY punk show. Is that how you guys have experienced house shows? That's what I'm used to.
It varies from house to house.
Yeah. There's not really a standard. Every house is different.
So what the Boston police have been doing is, for these house shows that don't necessarily have an address, the Boston police have been going undercover and emailing or sending a Facebook message to these house show throwers, if you will, saying, I really want to come to the show, but it's obvious that the messages are from cops because they refer to, you know, DIY concerts and just the vernacular they use is very unusual. So I guess my question is for contestant number three, is this a good use of police resources?
I do not think this is a good use of police resources. I think the Boston police should be spending their time trying to find out who killed Spiky Jacket. And that is all. I think like three of our readers will know what I'm talking about.
Or maybe some more resources into putting or locking up Whitey Bulger for good.
Yeah. I have no idea what any of you guys are talking about. Contestant number one, what do you think of this?
It is definitely not a good use of police time and effort and resources. It's like you have nothing. Like, tell me, like, is the Boston area crime rate so low that you now have to like break up punk shows? No, it's not, and it's just really annoying. Although I find it kind of interesting that Boston, of all places, is starting to crack down on that. I'm surprised we're not seeing it more so in spots. Maybe in the Midwest, where I feel like there are less venues for a punk band to play, and they have to resort to like house shows and stuff like that.
I guess I'll ask this for contestant number two. Playing devil's advocate, do you think that the Boston police could be concerned with people's safety? Because house shows are very jam-packed, and if, you know, if there was a fire or a stampede, people could get hurt.
Well, I've got 2 points to make on this. The first being that I'm not too far from Blacksburg, which is where, you know, the infamous Death by Stereo incident happened. And for any of our readers who aren't familiar, Death by Stereo played a house show back there, and I don't remember it was God, probably almost 10 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. I don't know. Anyways, they did the whole wall of death thing, and basically somebody got knocked out of a window and I believe they passed away from their injuries, and big lawsuit. It kind of led to Death by Stereo's becoming absent from the music scene for quite a few years because of lawsuits and other things.
And that's an unfortunate name for that band, considering that injury.
Yeah. So I mean, in that sense, I can understand where a community or a police force would want to protect it. And also you have to consider, you know, you've got the stigma of tie-ins from like, you know, from certain quote unquote gangs that, you know, are like hardcore straight edge gangs. You guys know what I'm talking about. So that's another whole issue. But on the flip side, I've actually seen some of this here in Richmond. There's a guy here who does a lot of shows. He actually does a pretty rad festival too, and he's been doing shows here for years. And he's, you know, he used to get he'll get clubs for the bigger shows, but for smaller bands, he still wants to do something. He had this really bad string of luck for a while where every time he'd do a house show or something of that nature, the cops would show up. Couldn't figure out why. Turns out that we found out that a local free paper, every time they were like doing the advertisements for shows that week or what have you, or events that week, would list the artist's name and, you know, have his house address on there. So they were basically ratting him out every fucking week. So, you know, a lot of people wrote into them and bitched at them, and I believe they stopped. But now he's doing the thing that you're talking about. He'll put something out on Facebook and say, hey, rad show tonight or next week, you know, hit me up for details. And, you know, I guess he kind of screens whoever he's going to give the information to.
Here's a question for contestant number three. Is house shows, usually the sound's not that great, sets are really short. I saw Paint It Black at a house show, and honestly, you couldn't hear a damn thing because it was so loud. It was just noise and people screaming so much. does the house show really serve a purpose?
I think it's more, it's the community that you get in a house show that makes it special. Like, obviously, the sound is going to be better if you're in a small club. I mean, you can drink if you're at a club, but it's, there's something.
You can drink at a house show.
Well, I mean, it's different everywhere, I guess, but I don't know. The houses around here, at least that I've been to, there's only a couple, because, I mean, who fucking throws on house shows in Idaho, but are kind of like no booze, no drugs, no anything, because they don't want to get shut down. But I think it has more to do with the communal vibe than any other actual benefit.
You know, that is one thing I never thought about. If a house show got raided and somebody brought in drugs and they stashed them there, you could get in some real trouble even though it's not your drugs. So I never really thought of that. But I will say I do enjoy house shows. Particularly, it gives you – like usually house shows are $5 or $6 or $7. So if there's a buzz band that I've been hearing about, I'll go, like, I'm not going to go $15. But like I saw – is it Waxahachie or
Waxahachie?
Waxahachie.
I saw them at a house show with Swearin', and both bands were really, really great. And honestly, I wouldn't have gone if it wasn't a house show just because I wouldn't have like spent $15. But $5 for sure. So, Sheena, do you like to go to house shows?
I do, actually. I like them more if they're, like, you know, acoustic shows.
What's the last house show you went to, Sheena?
The last house show I went to was at this house called Mouth House. And my friend
asked... what's the address? Would you tell us the address?
I'm not a cop.
I'm not a cop. just so the punk news listeners know... Like, there's a rumor going around that if a person tells you I'm not a cop, it means they're not a cop. That's not true. A police officer can tell you I'm not a cop and still arrest you. So tell me, Sheena, what did you think of contestants 1, 2, and 3? Which answer did you think was the best?
That's a toughie. I think I'm going to have to go with contestant number 2 again.
So it looks like contestant number 2 has got 2 thumbs up so far. Contestant number 1 has got 1 thumbs up. But contestant number 3, don't worry. You're still in the race. It's not a quantitative thing. It's a qualitative. So you could definitely pull through at the end. So we're going to cover one last question before we go to our first break. I guess we'll start with contestant number 1. Contestant number 1, Amazon recently just launched a new program called Audio Rip for Vinyl. What it means is that if you buy a vinyl record off Amazon.com, or if you've bought a vinyl record off Amazon.com since 1998, which is actually kind of ridiculous, then for free you can download the digital version from the Amazon.com sound cloud player. So it's sort of like their CD audio rip, which already existed, but this is for vinyl records. So any record that you bought from Amazon.com since 1998, you can get a free download. It's kind of a moot point because now most vinyl records come with downloads, but they don't all. However, interestingly enough, Amazon.com has faced some, blowback from it, from people saying that Amazon.com doesn't pay its artists fairly, and that it sets prices too low, so that hurts brick-and-mortar stores that can't charge $2 for a record, because Amazon can take a loss like that, but brick-and-mortar stores can't. So, contestant number 1, what do you think of Audio Rip for Vinyl? Is it worthwhile?
Well, as you mentioned, a lot of vinyl comes with download codes anyway, so it's nice, but I feel it's a little bit too late. But then there are those exceptions where, you know what, you don't get a code. I feel that happens more so of bigger label releases because they're just assholes like that. But so I guess, like, if you're trying to shop for, like, maybe, like, something that comes out on Interscope or whatever, you know, because your favorite artist just happens to put a record by them or, you know, to that label – yeah, sure, pick it up on Amazon. That would actually be really cool. But otherwise, it's like, why at this point so late in the game are you now getting into it? Although I do have my own qualms with Amazon because you're right, it does hurt brick-and-mortar stores. And it's not just record stores that are hurt by it. It's also the comic book store industry because comic book stores will sell trade paperbacks or like hardcovers, what have you. And they just can't compete with Amazon either. So it's really unfortunate for those local businesses, you know, when we get a trade, like, day of brand new, and we charge cover price or, like, a discount if you're a pull lister, and then Amazon's charging it for about the same price that it cost us to buy the book in the first place. It's like, well, who are you going to buy it from? Amazon, obviously, you know, so I don't know. But at the same time, people like cheap stuff, and every now and again I'll buy cheap stuff. Overall, cool idea. Amazon sucks. Do what you're going to do.
Contestant number 2, do you agree?
Nope, not at all. You know, it's I frequent a lot of like my local retailers for various things, and I don't, you know, buying a digital version of vinyl I think is stupid. People get vinyl for a few reasons. One, the feel, you know, that nostalgic sense of actually putting a record on, setting the needle, you know, hearing, you know, even the slightest little scratch, it's a different experience. But you know, so that's why I get vinyl. So I don't think getting a digital version is gonna entice me. You know, people go to different online retailers for various reasons. You'll go to Apple, you know, iTunes, because you're part of that whole Apple ecosystem. You want stuff that's going to automatically appear and on all your devices and yada, yada, yada. And Amazon's just another person trying to lobby into that. You know, people said the same thing about Best Buy a few years ago when, you know, when all those punk bands were getting signed to those shitty large labels, and Best Buy would release those records their day of release for like, you know, $6.99, $7.99, and people would bitch the same way. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's just the modern economy shifting. Hopefully there's enough people in communities that will continue to support local bookstores, comic book stores, what have you. But I mean, in the end, you don't have a local comic book store or local bookstore in every single town. I mean, they're drying up, and some of them just never had them to begin with. So you're able to reach wider markets, and you know, Amazon's gonna try to get pulling the most customers. It's a business strategy. I mean, it's unfortunate for some, but I mean, you know, they're trying to play the game and get as many customers as they can. So, but I don't get all the bitching about Amazon. I mean, unless I hear I've heard the stories about them forcing people to work without air conditioning and all that shit. So yes, I'm against that. But as far as for being able to sell things, get things in bulk and sell them at cheaper prices, no, it's supply and demand and it's economics, and I don't have a problem with that portion of it.
Contestant number three, it seems that contestant number one wants to preserve the brick and mortar store for the experience, if you will, but contestant number two seems to be more laissez-faire and say let the economy sort itself out with regards to the purchasing of media products. Where do you stand, contestant number three?
I definitely love my local brick and mortar stores, but I don't see a problem with if you've bought a record in the past on Amazon that they're going to give you a free digital version. I don't really see a problem with that. If they are paying the artists, I mean, they might be paying them terribly, but I'm sure they got a system. And I have bought some records on Amazon in the past, so it sounds like I have a couple downloads coming my way. So not too upset about it. It seems like a decent system once they iron out the kinks.
Hey, John, let me just add that it's funny. I just realized this. I've never actually purchased music from Amazon. Amazon for me is mostly going on there and getting, I don't know, like some electronic component or...
Well, I think I'm going to say Electronica. Like, you ever seen Electronica? Like, anybody know about it?
Right. But, you know, something of that nature, which I can either get there for a really good price, or I can go to Best Buy or H.H. Gregg or whatever and pay a ridiculous markup on. So to me, it's kind of like, you know... I don't see an issue with that. I can see where the rest of them are coming from, but I wouldn't personally. I don't collect comics anymore. But when I did, I sure as fuck wouldn't have them shipped for me from Amazon, because I wouldn't want them all creased and bent and broken and shit. So, and I used to love having my box at my local store. So, I think there's different ways to get different products. For me, music, I like getting it either from the label itself, like ordering records from No Idea, or going to like a show and buying a record, or going to my local record store. But you know, for other things, I mean, yeah, I'm going to try to get the best price. I'm not going to pay for a new processor. I'm not going to pay $500 at a Best Buy or whatever, where I can get it on Amazon for $250.
Yeah, I gotta say, I love record stores. I go to record stores probably about once a week, but I do use Amazon.com frequently to get rare music that you just can't find in your store. So I love record. I like to support both.
Yeah, before we leave this subject, though, I do want to say, because I know Chris talked about this, as to, you know, like, people who buy a record don't necessarily want an MP3 of it. And I do want to say, I personally, the reason why I would want an MP3 is because I can't listen to my record in my car or on, like, road trips or the airplane. I don't want to buy a record twice just to get the MP3s. Like,
oh, yeah. what I was getting at, Armando, and maybe I misconstrued this whole story, but maybe I'm just a fucking dolt, but I thought they were actually like advocating the fact that, you know, this is a MP3 that sounds like a record. So maybe I'm just stupid.
Oh no! Like if you buy the record, they give you a download.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah, then that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. I thought they were actually trying to advocate. Hey, we have MP3s that sound like records. We have one of those USB record. We have a million USB record players. We just constantly ripping.
I want that job. That'd be like a really chill job.
Well, Sheena, tell me, what do you think of the brick and mortar versus MP3 rip of vinyl record debate? And which contestant's answer did you like the best?
Well, I really love going to record stores, too. Like, recently I was in San Francisco, and our sightseeing consisted of just going to record stores.
Did you go to Amoeba?
I did go to Amoeba, but I didn't like it, because I've been to the Amoeba in L.A., too. And
You're off the show, Sheena.
Amoeba L.A. is superior.
I like the one in L.A. more than the one in Berkeley. I haven't been to the
Damn
one.
Damn right.
Oh, San Francisco,
the third one, but I don't know where it is.
San Francisco one is the one to go to. It's so
Yeah, no,
much...
I went to the one in Berkeley, so.
Yeah, Berkeley close.
No, it's still there.
No, it blows. Oh, it like blows. Out of the three, like it's like the bottom of the barrel.
I shouldn't say that. The great thing about the Berkeley one is if you like reggae, they way underprice rare reggae CDs there all the time. I've gotten so many rare reggae albums there, I can't even count them, like for real. So, Sheena, which contestant's answer did you like the best?
I think I'll probably go with number three on this because I can understand wanting, I can understand having a record and not being able to, you know, listen, as Mondo said, listen to it like in your record, in your car or whatever.
Well, Terry,
it's so cool
number
that
three.
Finally these records that you didn't have MP3s for, you're finally going to have them. So I think that's kind of cool.
Well, Terry, contestant number three, you're back in the game. Everybody can relax. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back after these wonderful commercials. Oh, hello there, Punk Connection listeners. This is John Gentile. You might remember me as the host of Punk Connection and other online game shows. I'm here to talk to you about a brand new compilation from A389 Records. A389 Records puts out a lot of heavy and mean music from bands like Ilsa, Gehenna, and one of my favorite bands, Integrity. You can check out their free 2013 compilation right now. It's downloadable for free, available at a389records.com. This is off it. It's by the band called Integrity, which we've played before, which is a very dark, hardcore band. They've got a new album coming out later on this year called Suicide Black Snake. This is one of the tracks that may or may not be on the release, and it is called Beasts as Gods. Connection. As you recall, we've got Sheena, our wonderful, beautiful, smart bachelorette, picking which bachelor she likes the best. There's contestant number one, who is Armando Olivas. Armando, how you doing over there?
I'm doing great, John.
That's great. And contestant number two, Chris number two, Chris Moran. Chris, how are you enjoying the game so far?
I'm finishing my second drink, so I'm getting there.
Excellent. And we've got contestant number three, Tori Peterson. Tori, you just came roaring back at the end. Are you jazzed for round two of the Punk Connection?
I just finished second drink as well, and I'm down but not out, John.
Well, it sounds like we're all partying here on the Punk Connection, and that's good. For round two, question number five, it looks like that Andrew WK is going to tour with Marky Ramone's band called Blitzkrieg. The band's just called Blitzkrieg. As I'm sure everyone knows, Marky Ramone was the second drummer for the Ramones, and I think he was the longest-lasting drummer, and he's pretty well-known in Ramone's lore. Andrew WK is going to go on about a... Well, actually, it was like three segmented tour. Each segment is about 2 weeks. And Andrew WK is going to be singing Ramone songs with Marky Ramone on drums. Contestant number two, are you excited for this, or is this a cash in?
I hate to say anything bad about Andrew WK because he just seems like such an all around good partying guy. But I'm kind of tired of any last remaining member of the Ramones trying to bastardize the legacy. So I give it a thumbs down.
Contestant number one, are you excited for this?
I am definitely excited because I love Andrew WK, and the thought of him doing Ramones covers sounds like the best thing ever, and I'm actually excited for the Henry Fonda date.
So for you, Armando, contestant number one, it's not a question of the Ramones playing the Ramones. It's a question of a guy that loves the Ramones playing Ramones music.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah, Marky Ramone is involved, but he's calling it Blitzkrieg. He's not calling it Ramones. At best, it's a Ramones tribute with one of the Ramones.
As I'm sure the Punk News listeners know, there actually has been several other Punk News Ramones tribute bands, I guess. There was The Remains, which was Dee Dee Ramone, Dee Dee Ramone's wife, and Marky Ramone. And there was also a couple other bands, too, I think. There was Marky Ramone and the Intruders. They did some Ramones songs. And when Marky Ramone was in the Misfits, he did some Ramones songs. Contestant number three, you're out there in Ohio, you said. Yeah. Doesn't look like they're going to be getting out there. But had you the chance, would you go to this concert?
I would, but I'm actually kind of curious what happened. Because I know Marky Ramone's Blitzkrieg, a few years back when he had his radio show on Fungus 53... He had Michael Graves, who was in the Misfits, singing for the band, and they were doing Ramones covers. And they actually did a few original songs, and they were pretty cool and catchy. So I'm kind of curious what happened there, why the vocalists, which obviously Andrew WK has a higher profile.
But they don't want any face paint on this tour.
Yeah, I guess not. No. Permanent arm paint.
Graves kind of fucked himself over when he went on his whole big Republican tirade, so I think
he's disassociated. Busy, yeah. He's busy being a Republican, and
he's at the country club playing tennis
with Stephen Colbert.
Nice forearm.
I don't know, honestly, that Andrew WK singing Ramon song sounds like a giant party, and if it was anywhere near me, I would go in a heartbeat. But I don't know, because, I mean, the only record I have of his is I Get Wet, and that's basically a lot of screaming. So I don't know if he has, like, the melodic chops to pull off Ramone songs, but it would be a good time.
Got the energy, dude. He's got the energy, though.
He's got the energy. I'm sure it'll be, like I said, giant party. I don't know if it'll sound great, but because the Michael Graves version of this band did put out a couple songs, so I'm curious to see if they will do any original material together, too.
I have to say, I can sort of vouch for Andrew WK's. I'm actually not a huge fan of his records, but he does a lot of neat projects, and he really knows his music history. I interviewed him last year, and he did an album with Lee Scratch Perry, who actually I played his song last week, and he did a pretty interesting job producing Lee Scratch Perry's record. It was called Repentance. But also, Andrew WK is a big fan of Napalm Death, and we talked at length about Napalm Death's late 80s work when they were out in Florida. So he's a pretty interesting guy. Sheena, are you excited for this show?
I am very excited for it, and I'm really bummed it's not coming out here.
Well, let's see. Sheena, where are you right now?
I see a date, actually.
Sheena, you're in Chicago?
No, I'm in NYC.
Oh, that's right. Sheena, you're in NYC. Well, of course. And they are playing Irving Plaza in NYC.
Okay, well, so now Sheena, I'm excited again.
You'll be able to hit that up. And you could probably visit 53rd and 3rd as well, which when I lived in New York City, I went and visited. And where it used to be a site of gay prostitution, it is now a Walgreens. So tell me, Sheena, which contestant's answer did you like the best?
Well, I'm super excited for it, with no doubts in my head, so I'm going to go with contestant number one.
Contestant number one. Moving on to question number six. This is a very Org-Core-centric tour that I think a lot of the Punk News kids are very excited about, and I think probably some of our contestants are excited about as well. There's going to be a fairly extensive tour, well, May 24th through June 12th, starting in Philadelphia, right near me, and ending in Asbury Park, of the Menzingers, which are perennial Punk News favorites, Fake Problems, which are perennial Punk News favorites, Restorations, which are perennial Punk News favorites, and Captain Worth Thinking, who I think people like, but I know nothing about. So, contestant number three, are you excited for this show? Do you like the Org-Core stuff? Because I know you're more of a heavy metal guy, kind of like myself.
I do, actually. I really like... I'm stoked for about half of this tour. Well, I would be, once again, because nobody comes to Idaho. I think the Menzingers and Fake Problems are both great live bands, and it's been a couple years since I've seen either. I do feel like the only guy in Punk News that just doesn't care about Restorations at all. Like, they're both... I think their singer kind of sounds like Chuck Reagan if Chuck Reagan was always out of breath. Like, And I think Captain We're Sinking is just kind of like a B-League Menzingers. Like, Captain We're Sinking and Menzingers don't need to be on the same tour.
I thought the band was, like, falling in reverse, but they're totally not.
How could you think that?
Honestly, because of their name. Like, these
bands, they do have a name. Like, yeah, I could see a thing in that. But well, I don't know.
You know, it's Greg from the Menzingers Brothers band, right?
I was just about to say that.
That makes sense. Okay, that makes sense then. I don't know. I would give the bands a chance to win me over, I guess, the openers. But I don't know. If this was coming my way, I might show up late. But I'd definitely be stoked to see Menzingers and Fake Problems because it's been a while for both of them.
Chris, contestant number two, you seem pretty excited for this tour, are you?
Yeah, I've got a lot of history with pretty much everyone on this tour, so yeah, it's a fun time on wheels. I'll say that.
Well, what's your history with these fellows?
I've just known them in different capacities for probably the last 10 years. I'm not going to get into the whole name dropping shit, but I've just known them all very, like, of all four bands very well, and they're all really good dudes. And
I just name dropped Andrew WK and Lee Scratch Perry, so I mean, you know, you feel free to name drop.
No, I mean, I've known.
If he names drops, we'll be here for like the next 10 minutes. Chris Moran knows everyone.
Armando knows because we're like on the same page with a lot of this.
Well, what's it called? Two of those bands are how we actually met.
Yeah, it's true. I was on because we were on the same tour. Armando was the merch dude and tour manager for Fake Problems. And
I wasn't tour manager. I was just merch.
Oh. Oh, okay, and I was with Gaslight, and we hung out and broed down.
Oh wow, I did not know that. What year was that?
This was 2010.
Yeah, and the Menzingers were also on that tour.
Yeah, for like 3 weeks.
So Armando, contestant number one, you sound pretty excited for this tour as well.
I am extremely, extremely excited. It is coming nowhere near me at all, but if I have my way, I might be there for part of it, if not all of it. Who knows?
I actually might go see the Philadelphia show just to see the spectacle, because honestly, I just do not get to Org-Core bands at all, but everybody loves them so much. So I might just go to see what the deal is. Like, when, you know, like I said, I had no interest in swearing or Waxahachie, but I saw them, and they were pretty cool. So maybe I'll go with an open mind. Sheena, I know you generally like more New York style three-chord punk rock, but what do you think of these bands? Are you excited for this tour?
I'm pretty excited. I wasn't too big on the last Menzingers album, but those Fake Problem guys are pretty nice and snazzy. So it'd be cool to see them.
Yes, they are.
Is 2013 going to be a year for the Menzingers? Because 2012 was kind of a banner year for them.
It probably will. I can see them taking off.
Sheena, what's eligible Bachelor's answers did you like the best?
It's hard to choose because all three are excited for this tour. Can we just, like, give them all a point?
Yes, you can.
All right, then I agree with all three.
Particularly because the points are meaningless in this game. But nevertheless, moving on to our seventh and final question. This is near and dear to my heart. Is Mike D of the Beastie Boys has been actually running a food truck up in New York, outside of New York, which was devastated by Hurricane Sandy, right near Rockaway Beach, which you're a big fan of, Sheena. What happens is, as I'm sure the Punk News listeners know, in Rockaway Beach and the surrounding areas, they were hit by Hurricane Sandy, and houses were demolished, places were knocked over, and basically a lot of places are still in a rebuilding stage, even though with Sandy was over a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago at this point. Mike D of the Beastie Boys actually himself started up a food truck with a couple of his friends or acquaintances, and has by now handed out 19,000 free meals. He said that he's planning on helping to rebuild the community by making it a business run by the people locally there, and it will no longer be a free service, and then by making it a charge service, it'll hopefully in part rebuild the economy. Contestant number one, are you a Beastie Boys fan? What do you think of Mike D's efforts?
I am a Beastie Boys fan, and I think that's actually pretty awesome of Mike D to kind of help out his community and feed those who are hungry. I think it's very punk rock. I used to do Food Not Bomb, so he's doing that on a bigger scale because he has the ability, both, you know, financially and time-wise, to do so. So I think it's rad. And one of the things I read in that article, because I saw it in the submissions queue and I was going to write it up, but then I ended up having to take care of some family errands. But when I read it, I saw that, like, it's a food truck, which is really cool and really innovative because he can travel, hit more spots up that way. But the chefs involved are, like, I guess, like, high, like pretty higher up in the food gourmandizer world or whatever. So not only are they getting meals, but they're getting very tasty, delicious, like awesome ones. So I say two thumbs up.
Contestant number two, Chris, I believe you are a BC Boys maniac like myself, correct?
Oh, very much so. And, you know, it's really, really awesome to read things like this. I mean, the Beastie Boys had such an impact on, you know, my early adventures with music. And I love when you see things like this that are just so I don't want to say unexpected because they've done a lot of charity work, but just so cool and just so there's no pretentiousness to it. They could have easily gone out, you know, and done Mike D could have done something, you know, some Beastie Boys tribute thing. We're going to raise money for this thing and no one's ever going to fucking see a dime of it. And no, he's just out there like feet on the street doing something to contribute. And it's awesome. I mean, it's a great way to give back to the community that obviously made him who he is. And I can't say enough good things about what he's doing here. It's really rad.
I agree with the down to earth part quite a bit. Is there's an interview linked in the Punk News article, and Mike, yeah, he just seems like a classy dude in the interview. Tori, contestant number three, are you a Beastie Boys fan? What do you think of this project that he's working on?
I am a Beastie Boys fan. I had License to Ill on cassette. It was one of the very first albums I bought with my own money. And so definitely. And I know they're not going to be doing anything musically for obvious reasons, but it is nice to hear that they're still doing awesome things all around.
Go ahead.
I just think anytime there's a punk news story without any negative comments, that's usually something pretty big. And there wasn't any negative comments on this, so it's awesome. Nothing but positive things to say.
Well, I agree, and I'm so happy that Mike D is doing this. I have to say, sometimes it blows my mind at how long the legacy of the Beastie Boys is. I mean, people know License to Ill 1986, but the Beastie Boys started in 1979, which means they're older than Run DMC, they're older than Ice-T, they're older than Ice Cube, they're older than LL Cool J, and they're even almost older than Crass, when you think about it, which blows my mind. Crass is only a year older than the Beastie Boys, and Crass seems like they were from, you know, another lifetime, if you will, so it's pretty amazing. Sheena, this is the last question, and this is the last time that the Bachelors had a chance to speak. Do you like the Beastie Boys, and what did you think of their answers?
I do like the Beastie Boys, and I thought all of these were wonderful answers, but I really like the way contestant number two was talking about Mike D.
Well, contestant number two just got another vote for him. So, but don't make a decision yet, Sheena. Sit down and think about it. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to see which eligible bachelor you picked. So stay tuned, folks. Here's our last round of commercials, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Oh, hello there, Punk News listeners. This is Binford Wilfrey. You might know me for my diabetic and diabetes medication commercials. But today I'm not here to talk about that. Today I'm here to talk to you about a rare track by the band Chumbawamba. Although a lot of people know Chumbawamba from their hit song, Tub Thumper, what a lot of people don't know is that they were actually one of the very first anarcho-punk rock bands, and they put out a record on Crass Records. Well, even though Chumbawamba just broke up, they've got a large archive on their site of downloadable songs, which you can download for free. This track is called Her Majesty, which is a particularly interesting track because it not only criticizes the Queen of England, but it also criticizes and praises the Beatles all at once. In fact, it's a cover or slash parody of the Beatles song Her Majesty, although you'll notice they twist the lyrics quite a bit as well as extend the song. It's humorous, terse, but also makes a good point. This is Chumbawamba doing Her Majesty for free download off their website, chumbawamba.com. This is Bilford Winley, and I'll be back again next week to help you pick your correct diabetic medication.
Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she doesn't have a lot to say. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. I wanna tell her that I love her a lot, but I've gotta get a belly full of wine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, someday I'm gonna make her mine, oh yeah. Someday I'm gonna make her mine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she never does a thing for me. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she keeps the worst company. All her lords and her ladies in waiting, all crawling in the dirt like swine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but I hope she's the end of the line, oh yeah. I hope she's the end of the line. Her Majesty's living in a land of curtsies, a world of bluish blood and Nazis, yeah. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but I think she ought to call it a day. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl without one good reason to stay. I'd like to take her for a whiskey or two, but I've got a lot of things to do. Her Majesty's a throwaway song, just short of a chorus or two, oh yeah, short of a chorus or two. A world of corgis and inbreeding, the royal corpse is barely breathing. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl with a circus for a family. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she's stuck with the royal we. I'd like to show around the center of town, but I haven't got a copy for her feet. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she's pretty much obsolete. Oh yeah, she's pretty much obsolete.
And we're back. So I know contestant Sheen's been thinking about which bachelor she's going to pick. Just to remind the Punk News audience, she can pick between bachelor number one, Armando, bachelor number two, Chris, or bachelor number three, Tori. I have to say, fellas, no matter who she picks, you guys all did a wonderful job answering her questions, and thanks for being such good sports. Let's hear it for these wonderful bachelors, everybody. And so, Sheena, the big moment is now. Sheena, which bachelor would you like to pick?
Well, John, this was a really tough decision. I put a lot of thought into it, and I decided that I'm just going to go with all three of them.
Well, that's a wonderful answer. Wonderful answer.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the happy couples, or the happy quadric. Today's game was co-sponsored by the fine folks at Crust Grind Records. So all four of the happy couple will be enjoying an evening out on the town. First, they'll have some fine dining at the dumpster behind McDonald's where they'll scavenge for leftovers. Then they'll go to a Hellbastard show where they can beat each other up in the pit while being squished between fellows that haven't showered since the Clinton administration. And they'll top off the evening by drinking warm 40s until they vomit on the sidewalk and eventually pass out. Thanks for playing, kids, and we'll see you all again next week right here. And that wraps up this episode of the Punk News Podcast. Thanks again to all you beautiful listeners out there. It's you who make this podcast possible. And just as a reminder, all the opinions and views expressed on the Punk News Podcast are the opinions of those making them exclusively and do not in any way represent the views or opinions of punknews.org. We want to thank all the bands that we played on the podcast tonight, including Shady Hawkins, Integrity at A389 Records, as well as everyone's favorite anarcho-punk rock band, Chumbawamba. We want to thank Scotty Death to False Hope Records. Feel free to send us some emails at podcast@punknews.org, and we'll be sure to reply. And otherwise, we'll see you next week.